great, 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 thanks. Pop that end light on, please. Can you put the end light on for me? Thank you. Great, great to see you. And maybe it's a little bit too... am I going to mess it? Okay, great. We're in 1 Peter, and we are just beginning, really. We're on, I think, the third one, a series of going through 1 Peter. We're doing this out of a series that we've already covered on Frontline and Ecclesia, as we've thought about the church. And this is Peter writing to the very early church. I sometimes call it the primitive church, and these guys are in the area of Turkey. And we've headed this series on 1 Peter, Living Stones. Love that title, Living Stones. That's what all of those of us who are in Christ can be called. We're living stones. And this evening, we're finishing chapter 1, and we're diving into the first three verses of chapter 2. And I think I'm going to read the verses. The verses that we're doing are 22 to 2-3, but I'm going to read some of the verses that Elizabeth spoke on last time. I just think it's really appropriate to do that. So I'm going to read that now. And great if you can follow. Have you got it, Pies? It's 1 Peter, chapter 1, and we're coming in at verse 13. Okay, great if you've got Bibles that you can follow one way or another, and keep them open. And if you keep looking, Pies, when I'm speaking, I'm going through the verses this evening, so you can put them up one at a time. It's 1 Peter, chapter 1, and we're coming in at verse 13. You there? Well done. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Thanks. Here we go then. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ. We're reminded of that in communion. A lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. These are the verses that were on the ceiling. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So, I'm saying right now that this passage is about transformation. It is about transformation. Now, when Liz and I were married a very long time ago, my sister, who was a bit younger than me, and I think she was still a student, she gave us, for our wedding present, a silver, pretty good quality, silver plated, but really good plate, tea service. You know, a teapot and a jug and a hot water pot and whatnot, whatever you get with it. And and I remember looking at this shiny silver tea service and thinking, how did she manage that? And of course, I asked her. I mean, you know, had she had her inheritance early? And I didn't know there was any inheritance, by the way. Well, what she'd done was she'd searched the junk shops. And she'd found this tea service. And it was absolutely black. And she looked at it carefully and decided that she was going to buy it and paid the price for it, which wasn't very much, and took it home and she cleaned it. And it came out looking like a very smart silver tea service, which we haven't really used very much. It's not the thing you do, is it, really, these days? I don't know how many of you serve silver teapots, tea, you know, and china cups. We get it now and again. It still tarnishes, but it still cleans up fantastically. Another example of a transformation is on the allotments. So I have an allotment. I keep it pretty well for a few months while things are growing, and then it tends to sort of deteriorate a bit. Anyway, there's a plot near us that was taken over by a couple early this year, right at the beginning of the year. And goodness me, did they go to town on their plot? There was wood, you know, there was the carpentry that was going on. I thought, what is this about? I mean, what is it about? This is about growing stuff, not doing carpentry. And all these sort of special frames were developing everywhere, and these areas were created, and it was absolutely fantastic. It was obviously going to win the new allotment holder's plot of the year, which it did. And some pretty good growing was going on there. Absolutely amazing transformation. Two examples of transformation. Now, in today's passage, Peter is describing the transformation of a person through the gospel. And you can see that in the language that he uses at the beginning. He says, now that you have purified yourselves, that contrasts with what's happened before. And then he speaks goes through the passage. And he says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and slander, like newborn babes. Okay? He's talking about a transformation that happens to those who come to follow Christ. I think, and you know, if you get to know Scripture, in time you will see how the New Testament writers are full of the Old Testament. And this is full of the Old Testament. It's Isaiah. There's a passage in Isaiah, a really important section of Isaiah, that goes from Isaiah chapter 40 to Isaiah chapter 55. And it's absolutely certain that Peter has this in mind as he writes this. And it's just, it's lovely. It's really good. You know, if we speak from the Old Testament, we're stuck in the Old Testament sometimes. And it's difficult to understand it. The New Testament writers, when they're writing about the Old Testament, they're looking, really looking through the eyes of Jesus. That's how they see it. And it becomes different to if you just read the Old Testament on its own. So I'm just going to read the opening bit of Isaiah 40. And it's really relevant for communion because Isaiah 53 comes into this section. And I'm going to read Isaiah 53 when we come to communion. So here you are. Chapter 40 of Isaiah starts off, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." And so on and so on. And then it says, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass. All their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. And if you turn over to chapter 55 of Isaiah and verse 10, you've got a really different note. That's sort of saying, everybody's just like the grass of the field. They're as temporary as the grass of the field. Human beings, you know, they come and they go. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. What's happened in between Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 55, the suffering servant has come. So let's just go through the passage quite simply. Verse 22. And we've read it, but Isaac will pop the verses up. So we're in verse 22. And this verse starts with now that, which contrasts. There's a contrast here with the way that things were. Now that you have purified yourselves. We had the passage on holiness. This is about practical holiness, purifying, living out God's ways, if you like. Peter's describing a significant positive turnaround, something that has been an extraordinary change in a person's attitude and behaviour. And the change is here captured by one thing. There's one thing that sort of covers the whole of the change, and that is love. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Now this really, really is a change. This really shows a difference because this love is agape love, which is unique to God. There are different words used for love. We have different words that we use for love. Affection, you know. And we talk about sort of sexual love and desire. We talk about brotherly friendship, love. This is God's love. And it's a word that is only used in the New Testament to describe God's love. It is unconditional love. God's love doesn't go to one person more than to another because of what they're like. It's the same for all. God's love is love in action. It's not about feelings. It's about doing things. It's about putting yourself out for the other. It's about love from the heart. And the heart in Scripture is not the center of feelings. It's the center of thoughts and feelings. So Peter is describing here a transformation which, unlike our opening examples, is not an outward change, but an inward change. But it shows itself outwardly. Peter's already referred to the sort of source of the change, what makes the change, in the previous verses. The grace of God that we thought about and that Elizabeth was thinking about. It comes from redemption, a sort of buying back. We belong to God in the first place. He's brought us back through faith in him, through faith in the resurrection of the crucified Christ, through faith in the gospel. The gospel is the power that underlines this massive change and that brings God's love right into our hearts and makes a complete turnabout in the life of the one who believes. And so verse 23, Peter says, this transformational change doesn't actually happen in a one-off explosion. It happens in the hush of a new birth. A seed, an imperishable seed, is sown into the heart of the believer by the Spirit of God. It's like Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and talking to him about new birth from the Holy Spirit. This marks the turning point from which and out of which eternal life develops. Not natural life, which is temporary, like the grass of the field, but eternal life, which is a different quality of life that goes on forever. And the seed that is sown into the heart by the Holy Spirit is the living and enduring Word of God. Spoke about this with no notice on the Sunday morning and the other week when Steve was ill and suddenly couldn't come. In John chapter 1, we read about the Word. And this Word of God is the Word by which God brings everything into being, according to John, according to Peter. There's a word for it in our language, which is sort of stolen from the Latin, that you may or may not have heard of, a fiat. You know, like the car, spelled the same way, a fiat. So when you see a fiat, think of God's word. And a fiat is a word that is used by somebody in great authority, a king. His fiat, you do it because he said it. Or a judge. His fiat, you follow it because he says it. In Genesis, we read, and God said. And when God says something, you get action. It happens. It's like the word and the action are simultaneous. Such is the authority and the power of God's word. The word is the way then that the sovereign God shows himself, and he creates everything through his spoken word. And in creation he shows himself. It's also written. So God, through the Holy Spirit, comes on people and inspires their writing, and we have scripture. We have our scriptures, the word of God, the written word that we are able to read in our own language. But more than anything else, this word of God is a person. We must never forget that. It's the most important thing. The word of God is a person. And that's what John is saying in John chapter 1. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a person. It's the eternal Son of God. It's the Messiah, the Christ, the living word as shown in Jesus. So Peter says, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God, more than anything, that is Jesus Christ. And then he quotes from Isaiah chapter 40. For all people are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall. But, massive contrast, the word of the Lord endures forever. Do you see? This is what makes the difference. We, as human beings, have 70 years. 70 years. You know, I've got 2 extra at the moment. Might get a few more. Who knows? But that's how I am as a natural human being. Just like the flowers of the field, the grass of the field. I will die. We will all die. But the word of the Lord is eternal. And when a person trusts in God and trusts in the living Christ who was crucified, they are born into eternal life by that seed. There's a new beginning from the inside. And that new beginning is transformative. That's what Peter is saying. And it's echoed right through Scripture. The love of God himself is put in our hearts because we have his seed in us. It leads to a complete change of character. It leads to a change of personality. It leads to a completely different outlook. We know that. Some of us have experienced it in a dramatic way. Some of us have experienced it, but not in such a dramatic way, perhaps if we've been brought up in Christian families. But we've still known what it is to have a change in sort of what we want to do and what we feel is right to do. And we are enabled to truly live out God's commandments from our hearts, which are summed up by Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. So it really is about love. That's how we fulfil God's commandments, through love. And through the love that is sown in our hearts through receiving the word of God. So Peter says, this word was proclaimed to you. You've responded to it. You've got this eternal life, which is permanent on top of your natural lives. And it's also been proclaimed to us. We proclaim it so regularly on Sundays and in other ways and in our lives. And we have this great experience, the possibility of experiencing life in God, in relationship with God, and in relationship with each other. It's a completely different sort of relationship that we have with each other as children of God. And we know that the life that we have in Christ, The life that we have as Christians is a rich life. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. When we've experienced it, we know that. We can drift away from it. But somehow in our hearts, this sense that this is something about this way of life. There's something about communities of God's people with such different people. You know, so many odd people out there. But I love you. You know, I really love you. And I love loving you and knowing you and doing stuff with you. It's amazing. You know, it's somehow far more exciting and interesting than being with golf mates or fishing mates or whatever. It's just really, really different. It is. I'm just telling you, for me, it is massively different. So Peter says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So, you know, there can be among us no deliberate hurting of each other. We cannot deliberately hurt each other. We cannot deliberately deceive each other. We cannot pretend. We cannot cover up. All of those behaviours are associated with natural birth from human seed. But now we should feed our new eternal nature, which springs from the word of the Lord. And how do we do that? We do it by craving pure spiritual milk. Now, Peter's really talking about craving, you know, really wanting this. Do you know, there's so many people that I have known who have become Christians who have developed a real craving for scripture, for learning more about God, for following in God's ways. There are others who don't seem to develop that craving in the same way. The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And Peter's quoting from that psalm. Get a taste of God. And when you've got a taste of God, and you've really got a taste of God, you want more of God. When you get a taste of what Scripture's really about, you want more of it. It's worth reading all the stuff that bores you or whatever, because you know sooner or later you're going to come across something which is going to feed you. So you keep going, even though a lot of it is tough and you can't understand it. It just feels somehow as though it's worthwhile. So Peter says, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Crave this pure spiritual milk. Crave Christ. Crave scripture. Pray. Read. Listen to the word. Grow up. Let the seed grow and develop in you. It's not magic. There are things that we can do to cultivate that seed. We need to be doing it. Don't remain an infant. Develop into maturity. Become more Christ-like. It's an exciting adventure. It's an exciting development. And it has such fruits. The world will be such a different place if people were living like this and developing in faith. And so I want us to examine ourselves. I want us to ask ourselves how we're doing with our growth in God. How we're doing with our spiritual development. You know, all of us take time to feed and develop our mental and our physical beings. Our natural gifts. And they can all be used for God's glory. How are we doing with what happened to our spiritual birth as children of God? Are we stuck? You know, it's just so sad, isn't it? People within our fellowship have had children who can't grow up, and they have a really young mental age all of their lives. And it's just so sad. And it's sad when people come to faith and they stay like that. Because we should all be growing in faith, maturing in faith. And we do all sorts of things to feed our natural physical life, which is like the grass and the flowers of the field, and, you know, we'll die and it will die with us. But what about the spiritual life that comes from the Word of God? What are we doing to grow it in ourselves? Are we spending so much time practicing our sports or doing our education or reading or whatever, you know, and we're not giving time and attention to our spiritual development, which should be feeding everything? It's not about spiritual and physical. It's about the lot fed from the Word of God. That should be such a challenge for us. And I want to finish just by reading Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. Because it's such a similar passage. It's got such a similar word, you know. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Christ gave himself, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. This is Ecclesia. We thought about this passage when we were doing Ecclesia. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. You know, together. It's community stuff. It isn't really individual stuff. It's about community. It is about Ecclesia. It's about the church. It's about the body of Christ. Till we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. What happens to infants? Well, they're tossed back and forth by the waves. They're blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. You know, there's plenty of people that are blown and tossed all over the place and getting nowhere in their lives. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For in him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, every person in this room has a part to play in this, grows and builds itself up in love, of course, as each part does its work. Let's pray. Let's just be quiet and reflect for a moment. Father, give us a new realization, a new awareness of what it's like to taste and see that you're good. Just to have a sense in our lives of who you are. May each one of us in this room be born through the imperishable seed, the living and enduring Word of God that comes from the gospel, that is Jesus Christ. May we as individuals grow up, we pray. Give us a hunger and a longing to grow up. May we as a church grow up as we share together in the Word, spoken, written, and most of all, in Christ. And so help us to really enjoy that rich, stable life which we can have as a result of knowing you and following you and living with you at the centre of our lives. Father, we ask it. For all of our sakes, for the sake of those around us in our communities, so many people in a complete mess in their lives, and for your glory, our God and Father. our Creator, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.